Welcome to Blue Collar BS, a podcast that busts the popular myth that we can't find good people, highlighting how the different generations of today, the boomers, Gen X, millennials, and Gen Z, are redefining work so that the industrial revolution that started in the U.S. stays in the U.S.
Are you building a business that's actually sellable, or are you unknowingly stuck in a job you just happen to own?
That's the million-dollar question. And this week on Blue Collar BS, we're bringing in Mike Finger, a guy who's been there, done that, and figured out how to actually sell a business instead of just dreaming about it.
Mike spent over 25 years buying, selling, building, growing, and let's just say his first attempt at selling was a hard reality check. Turns out most business owners are completely unprepared when it comes to cash out.
So if you're grinding away, thinking you're sell your company, and ride off into the sunset, think again. Mike is breaking down exactly what makes a business valuable, how to position it for sale, and why so many owners get stuck with something no one wants to buy.
Whether you're thinking about an exit strategy now or just starting to build, this episode is packed with insights that can save you years of frustration and make you lots more money.
So hit that play button, take some notes, and let's talk about building a business that you can actually sell.
LFG!
Welcome back to Blue Collar BS, Brad. How are you doing today?
I'm fantastic, Mr. Stephen Doyle. It is a wonderful day here. Spring is in the air. Golf is around the corner, except it's going to snow on Sunday. So looking forward to that.
Well, you better get your golf in tomorrow. That's all I got to say. Get it in.
It's going to be, well, there's a chance. We're going to dinner tonight, and we will have that conversation if we will go out in the 50-mile-an-hour winds that we're expecting and
Do it. Make sure the golf ball's extra light.
Yeah, there you go.
Extra light. Just let the wind take it. I'd love to see that. Pour a couple holes like that for me, please.
Okay, we'll take some pictures for you.
Thanks. So who do we have on the show today, Brad?
Our guest today is Mike Finger. Unapologetically small business. Over 25 years, he has bought and sold multiple businesses. Building his first business was a rewarding challenge and captivated him to selling his first business. Mike is an amazing guy on LinkedIn that tells his story very cleanly and very clearly and very succinctly for everybody to understand. And the reason he's here today is so that our audience can understand that having an option at the end is just as important as beginning the journey. So, Mike, thank you so much for being on our show today.
Gentlemen, a pleasure to be here. Thank you for the invite.
They always say that when they start the show. I don't know what you guys say after the show.
What do they say at the end?
I don't know. We don't know because they leave.
We don't know yet. We don't know yet. So before we get too much further into the show, Mike, which generation do you identify with?
I am a Gen Xer, born in 69.
Awesome.
Perfect.
Awesome. You'll hear me refer to Brad as a boomer, but he keeps telling us that he's not, and he's a Gen Xer, but
I am 67. Technically, there's no way around it unless you can expand time somehow.
I can.
Oh, then you're special.
I am. So Mike, tell us how you got started in your journey.
Boy, back in the mid 90s, my wife and I cut our dining room table in half to make two desks and started serving clients out of our living room. Started a business. Turns out I'm a bit of a growth junkie. 10 years on, I find myself with 50 full-time employees. Wake up one morning, look in the mirror, see a crispy piece of toast, looking back and realize I got to go do something else. Mm. And that's when I had my own personal moment of, what do you mean I can't sell my business? Business broker after business broker hung up the phone, and I found myself needing to recreate my business with a different perspective in mind. 5 years later, was lucky enough to sell that business. It was a freaking life do-over for me. Got to do a number of things in the interim, including two turnarounds where I bought and sold. And it leads me to where I am today, which is I work with small business owners interested in prepping their business for sale because I lived it, I learned from it, and I love the space, and there's there's a lot of bad information in this space. A lot of information I think does a terrible disservice to small business owners. And so I do what I can to try to combat that garbage.
Well, and I will say that you are out there speaking truth in your messaging, not all just the success wins and the pie in the sky and all the rhetoric and bullshit that many go out there and say, oh, you can get 10 times your revenue in an industry that gets historically one times. Are you kidding? I mean, because you're right. There's a lot of bad information out there. And for our audience, I guess, what would you say are the... What was the biggest lesson you learned when you saw that piece of toast over that 5-year period? What was that opportunity?
Oh,
I know there's a lot of them. But
yeah, it's so funny. I still feel it, guys. I still when I cast myself back to that space, I still feel the 80-pound sack of potatoes on my shoulders. I still feel the stress and the wake up at 3 a.m. And again, as it relates to this space of exit, I think the biggest learn for me is how wrong someone who genuinely thought they were doing it right can be as it relates to this space. How easy it is to be misinformed. And how we as owners need to take control of this topic. No one else is going to do this for us. We and that's not a surprise to us as owners. We're used to that. But for some reason, we think that this is something that waits on the sideline until we're ready for it. And then just magically turns into success. And I don't know. Not much in my experience as a business owner has worked out that way, and this is certainly not the case.
So let me ask a question about financials, right?
Yeah.
Most small business owners hate taxes, right?
Yeah.
We hate them to the nth degree, and we don't want to pay them. So our accountant does us this great favor of showing almost zero revenue for decades.
Yep.
Because we don't want to pay taxes. And then you wake up, you see your piece of toast, and then you go, hey, I want to go sell my... Even though that might be the tax purpose, that may not be the reality of what's all going on. How do you... What kind of message or how do you get those business owners that you work with to realize that income is good?
I mean, it's so funny because it's so simple to understand if you are looking at acquiring a business. Right, you pull up that set of financials, and the owner says, "We reinvested all of our profits back into the business," and it goes through the air. And what the buyer hears is, "We never made any money."
Mm-hmm.
And the truth of the matter is what's on that bottom line at the end of the year that actually makes it to your taxes. That's what your results are. It's not what you did, what you got in the first quarter. It's not what you, certainly there's creative ways that accountants can help you defer taxes, or there's ways that expenses can hit your taxes that perhaps qualify as an add back when you're going through a recasting or something like that. But the bottom line is, if your business isn't making money, I've got three basic questions I push on owners. Because again, this is an entire industry defined by complication, right? Most of the people in this industry make their money because they have mastered the complexity. Attorneys, accountants, business brokers, all of these folks have a vested interest in having us as owners feel like this is a terribly complicated, sorcery-filled space. And it is, right? The transactions are complicated. There's a lot of checks, boxes to check the right way. But when it comes to sellability, three basic questions. Are your results desirable? Can a buyer duplicate your results? And can you document your results? You give me a yes to those three questions, we're now talking about a sellable business. You give me a no to any one of those questions, or a maybe, or occasionally, now we've got some problems we've got to address.
Right.
Brad, to your question.
Yeah, but Mike, Mike, that only happened one time. It's okay. But it only happened the one time.
That's
it's
right.
Fine. Sally's no longer here. It happened the one time.
Right.
And Johnny took care of it.
Yeah.
It's okay, right. Mike.
Hey, no, that you're not reading those taxes correctly. That loss each year that's not what that actually means. It's again, all of us as owners have had those years. We've had those situations occur. I'm not unrealistic about this, but the problem is that we are our own worst enemies when it comes to this space, because the biggest risk to our profits, that's us as owners, right? It's the, I'm going to buy three more of those and put them in the closet, or I'm going to do this or that. How about instead we actually allow our business to create net worth for us? We allow it to create results that are attractive to us as owners and to a potential buyer. Sellability and ownability are the same thing.
Mm. Interesting. What I'm curious to know is that journey of kind of, for our audience, there's those people that are kind of like dabbling around. At some point, I want to sell my business.
Yeah.
You know, 5 to 7 years out, maybe it's 10 years out. What do you say to those individuals to start getting mentally prepared for that transition?
It's a great question. The first thing I tell them is to remember that exit almost always sneaks up on owners.
Mm-hmm.
That it is a very rare situation where an owner says, I'm going to sell 10 years on this day, and they work their way to that process. What happens in the interim? Divorce, diagnosis, new opportunity. Hey, mm-hmm. Here's a different business I want to pursue, but now I'm anchor locked to the one that I have. So that's the first thing I call out, is that it's all well and good to have an exit plan. I'm a big advocate of being exit prepared, right?
Yep.
Because
have the option.
Yes,
have the option.
Right. That's right. Let's own it forever or sell it tomorrow. Let's be able to do either one of those things.
Mm-hmm.
Because again, the dirty little secret of this whole topic area is that a business that's ready to sell is a fabulous business to own forever. And it's the reason I don't work on commission, because the truth is that I've worked with too many owners who come to me and say, I'm miserable, I want to sell my business. They say, well, we can't sell it until we change some of these things, till we get those three yeses. Yep. We start to change those things. Well, I don't want to sell the business. We're making money.
I'm having fun now. Yeah.
This thing's great. Why would I sell this? That's mm-hmm. where we want to be, is that place. Right. Because, again, I've had those. I'm thinking of one client in particular. Guy owned an auto shop, made significant changes to his business. He's a 10-hour-a-week guy at that point. A 10-hour-a-week owner suddenly gets that magical offer and turns it down. No, it's wow. not enough. The magic offer calls back and raises the bid another 30%. Now he sells his business, right?
Yeah. I mean,
those are the kind of opportunities that being ready offers.
It presents the opportunity for sure, right?
Because that's right. And again, in the interim, my business is easier to manage. I can be more successful. It's more profitable. It doesn't take as much from me as I'm doing. That's the reality of the space. And again, as a guy who did it the hard way, as a guy who got to that place of I got to get out of here and couldn't leave, that change, that 5 years was brutal. Because I was done.
You were mentally checked out.
Oh, man, mm-hmm. it was brutal. Don't do that. If I had started a couple years earlier, made some of those adjustments, number one, I wouldn't have been nearly as burnt out as I was. And number two, my options at that point would have been through the roof.
Right. And the things that you're referring to and you put in your posts, these aren't major. Some of it might be major, but in many cases, it's small incremental behavioral changes and habit changes and things that will add up over time that all of a sudden you look back and you go, I just walked across the United States.
Right.
And you didn't know it, because you're just, it's not like, oh, we got to boil the ocean or we're going to, no, it's just small little things like having your accountant make sure that you're not buying a stupid ass truck for $80,000 using all your cash because I can fully depreciate it this year and I don't need a truck.
Right.
To avoid $15,000 in taxes, go spend $80,000 in cash. That's a bad idea.
That's a really bad idea. And the boiling ocean's a great picture because that's where you are if you wait.
Mm-hmm.
If you wait to the end, that's where you are. Alternatively, if you accelerate that process, now we're making incremental change. And we all know that over time, incremental change creates a huge amount of difference. But I can do a simple example. I've got a fairly new client and we go through our analysis and what becomes clear is there's an overdependence of the business on him. And so what's the pattern we change?
Yeah.
Hey, Mike, I want you to start working from home Friday afternoon. You're going to take a half day and work from home. I'm not asking you to take it off. I just want you, well, what's that going to do? Well, it's going to mean you're not in the office to answer all the questions. It's going to mean that we're going to start to see where the weakness, right? These little pattern changes, instead of being there 12 hours a day every day, now I'm creating a little space. I'm creating a little distance. And we start to see that evolution take place. Mm-hmm. It's little things. And again, if I could stress anything to owners listening, the biggest danger here is waiting.
Yep.
That is what kills more deals than anything else, is owners wait until they are ready to sell to get ready for sale.
Right.
Well, right. There's this mental gymnastics that have to go through that and watching, even on the family business transition side, even though they're not truly there will be an equity transition at some point, but just that ownership of operational transition inside the family business is still one of those, well, dad's not ready to leave yet. Dad's going to come in. Well, we can't go anywhere until dad, you decide you want to be gone.
Right.
And if either you're here or you're not here because your salary dictates you're here. So, but you don't want to be here. So let's figure out how we got to make that happen. And those challenges are always fun and exciting also.
Yeah. And it presupposes that we get to decide. I can't tell you how many experiences where I'm dealing with an owner and they're like, oh, well, you know, here's my plan and I need to start getting ready. And then they don't show up for my Zoom meeting and I reach out to the contact number and I get a message back, Bill's in the hospital, right? We don't get to make these decisions a lot of the time. And so again, readiness is the idea. We're not talking about hyper preparation. We're not talking about I leave my emergency plan on my desk every night before I leave. That's not what it is. This is a place of realizing that we create true transferable value by creating an organization that can operate when we're not sitting in the chair.
I find it ironic that we're sitting here in 2025 just 4.5 years away from all the COVID stuff and all the big plans and all the things and all the stuff and all of that emergency planning, all that preparation, all be prepared for stuff just has all kind of just fluttered away over the course of time. And why do we need to be prepared for anything? Life is fine. It's weird that we had this major occurrence and disruption that all of a sudden these owners are just, no big deal. We're back.
You're not suggesting we didn't learn anything, did you, Brad?
I'm suggesting that we learned things, but it's on the shelf over in the corner, like going to a conference. I learned something at the conference, but it's going over there in the corner. And when it comes up, I'll try to remember I put it there.
That's right.
The problem is that there's no advocate for this topic except the owner, right? Yep. If a piece of equipment breaks, there's 15 guys in your office. Right, every little topic in our world as owners has advocates, not this one. So, this is the transaction that tends to put a bigger check in the hands of business owners than do it successfully than anything else they'll ever do as owners.
Right.
My plea to small business owners is spend a half an hour a month on this topic. Put a lunch in your calendar with yourself, with your, this is your lunch date with your future self. Spend a half an hour listening to a podcast, reading an article, watching a YouTube video, reading a book, and just watch what happens over time as you start to learn what sellability actually looks like, what buyers want, and watch your daily decisions change incrementally and watch your business improve. It's freaking magical as soon as we stop ignoring it.
Yeah. One of the things that I'm curious about, because some of our younger audience, they're either thinking about starting a business or they have started a business and they're a couple years in. Back to your first three questions, what would be one or two things from those three questions that those either potential business owners or very young business owners should be implementing in their business to get them to be sellable? When, you know, versus those business owners that are very experienced, like, hey, I need to figure it all out now. So we get into that mindset of that pre-planning phase.
It's so much easier when you start it than it is 30 years after you've been in it to go out, start putting accountability in place, you know?
Absolutely. And I will say this is where I get in a little trouble with the truly dogmatic believers in this space, because the answer I'm supposed to give you is start with the end in mind, right? I'm supposed to give you that, do this all up front. And my problem is that my experience as a small business starter or buyer is that chaos rules.
Yes, and, it does.
and so for me, my advice is first, we've got to get to sustainability. Right. Mm-hmm. We've got to get to a place with our business where we're not worried about making the next payroll. And when we get to that place, then we start thinking about succession. Then we start thinking about sellability, because that is that water is calm enough for us to be. How do we do that? We start thinking about things like building systems, building a team. These things that you guys have talked about on this program, who knows how many times, right? We talk about those basic fundamentals. We talk about things like, you as the owner need to make money from this business. And that might sound like a really strange thing to say out loud, but owners understand why that's not all that strange, right? Mm-hmm. We got to start paying you a market rate salary. There's got to be some benefit. So we start looking at this entity as something other than an appendage from our body, which is how we view it as an owner early on. Mm-hmm. But for me, it's that sustainability. Then let's start looking seriously at what sellability looks like for business. Again, not because you want to sell, but because you want a business that's easy to own that you could sell if you decided to.
Okay. Do you have any... right? Because we talked about early on in the beginning of this program that there's a lot of misinformation out there.
Yeah.
There's a lot of
crap. Can we say crap?
We can say a lot of things. But there's a lot of people out there trying to scare people into decision-making along the way instead of having meaningful conversations about reality.
Yeah.
And I find you to be one of those guys that's really having a reality conversation, not a scary conversation. Do you have a book or two or a title or two or a resource that says, hey, Mr. 33-year-old business owner right now who's just starting a family, couldn't even care less about what's there, but understands being prepared for opportunity, because I believe the younger generations are far more aware of when opportunity shows up to take advantage of them, more so than our generation and the boomers in front of us. Do you have any book recommendations or anything for those younger owners that are out there?
Sadly, I don't, Brad. I don't. Here's the problem we have. The problem we have that, and I try to give as much credit as I can to professionals in the space. I don't think they're intentionally misleading small business owners. They're focusing on 2% truths. What do I mean by that? We look at small businesses in the U.S., and 98% of the businesses in the U.S. have less than 20 employees.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So the professionals in this space, it's probably easier to sell a $5 million business than it is to sell a $500,000 business. And so professionals in this space tend to speak to and teach to and promote to the 2%. So you're going to see 1,000 articles about Google's last acquisition. You are going to see articles about private equity and venture capital and all of these things that will never touch the 98% of us. That they'll never touch us. And so the question is, most of the books are written to the 2%. Most of the articles are promoted to. It's harsh out there, and it's I wish I had a, and it's going to sound incredibly self-serving to say, well, follow me on LinkedIn. That ain't it, right? But there are
resources. No, but there's pieces to it. So I wasn't sure if maybe if profit first or buy back your time or
those
influencer.
Fabulous
tools. Or those types of things that would be, hey, here's the one thing that, you know, if you at least start with this, this will help you to get through that process, you know, in the chunks of areas of concern being prepared.
I mean, we could talk about dozens of those, right? From Traction to eMyth to, right? I mean, there's so many systems or resources. And if we're talking in more general business operation, tons of resources. And then I think many of them do speak to small business owners. When it comes to this exit space,
right?
It's a bit of a desert.
Yes, I would agree. I would agree. For sure, that is not one that is out there being talked about, which is why we're grateful that you decided to come on today and have that conversation. So as we have our audience listening, how do people find you, Mike? Where do they hook up with you? Where do they find your information? Get all your goodness.
I'm most active on LinkedIn, as has been mentioned, or you can find me at exitoasis.com. I've got a blog there, content there. Always open to a conversation with owners.
Okay. Steve, you want to take us into Bite Your Tongue?
Ooh, so we've got a new segment, Mike, titled Bite Your Tongue. Has there ever been, so the whole context of this is, if you're able and willing to, has there ever been a time when you have said something where you would have been like, I might have been better off biting my tongue?
Personally, professionally, business owner, man, not a business owner.
What time do we have? And just I'm so glad okay, my so wife is listening to this conversation. You know, here's the interesting thing about that question is that as my career has gone on, I've done more coaching, I've started to realize, and I fingers crossed, I'm getting better at realizing that I provide more value by asking questions and listening than I do by actually trying to answer questions. Because especially when I'm dealing with owners, I don't know their industries. I don't know the specifics of their business as well as they do. Early in my career, man, I can't count the number of times. It's a really interesting question. I don't know if I have a specific bite your tongue moment. There's so many chew marks on this tongue of mine that.
That's fair. That's a fair response.
Fair enough.
That's all good.
Fair enough.
That is all good. Mike, thank you so much for sharing your wisdom and knowledge with us today. Really do appreciate it. People go out. He's got some of the best content on LinkedIn that I've seen in this category. Just follow him. Just pick up his stories, listen to his stories. I guarantee you, as you read through his LinkedIn, read through his stories, you will find you in those stories in some way, shape, or form. You do a really good job with that, Mike, and we really appreciate you being here today.
Thank you. Enjoy.
Yes. Thank you, Mike.
All right. Have a great day.
Thank you for listening to Blue Collar BS, brought to you by Vision Forward Business Solutions and Professional Business Coaching, Inc. If you'd like to learn more on today's topic, just reach out to Steve Doyle or myself, Brad Herta. Please like, share, rate, and review this show, as feedback is the only way we can get better. Let's keep blue-collar businesses strong for generations to come.